Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
That's a beautiful mastiff. Yeah, I hope you're not feeding that dog kibble. So sweet. Is that a chihuahua? Yeah, oh, I learned my lesson. I am never getting a small dog ever again. I spend $20 a day just on food for my dogs. Yeah. Uh-huh. I know it sounds like a lot, but let me ask you this. How much is that Starbucks you're holding? Exactly.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, January 15th. This is The Drop, hashtag Full Squad. I'm Jay Skeets, and alongside me, we got Mr. What You Need to Know, Tass Mellis.
Energy.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tassie. We got the Bassmaster ripping them lips, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-yo. We got the International Man of Mystery, and Riddick Bowe's sparring partner in this crazy little thing called life. Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Lily. Last but not least, making the magic happen is JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are on a Friday. Shout out to the stream teamers joining us live right now on YouTube. Thanks to everybody out there who has helped us reach 25,000 subscribers. Check. Next stop, 50K. We'll celebrate 30, but 50K is when we can record Slim Lee's hit new country song, A Rim With No Net. So that is really, truly the next goal. Let's get there. Like, comment, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Keep your questions and your comments coming for next week's Beach Step In. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. It was a day late, but we did drop this week's Beach Step In yesterday. It's in your podcast feed now. You can also watch it on YouTube. And immaculate items always available at NoDunks.com. T-shirts, hoodies, shorts, and a mug. I always forget about those shorts we've got there. Those basketball shorts. Very, very comfortable. Anybody wearing them right now? Anybody?
I am, actually. As a matter of fact, I am.
JD, you are?
I am. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Come on, show them off. Show off your stuff.
Yeah. When you stand up.
Oh, yeah,
look at
JD.
Those items. Incredible.
Fantastic. You're wearing tights underneath there, JD?
You better believe it. What? Can't be chafing when I'm working out, Tassie.
Yeah, great point.
Okay, so on today's Drop Podcast, we got a lot to get to. We got a, worst/best of the week. Yeah, we got a little twist to it. We got Tweet of the Night. We actually got some great questions about James Harden from some of you out there. You emailed in, you tweeted in, you let us know in the YouTube comments. So we'll do a final, probably sort of little James Harden fallout from the big trade this week. We got rapid fire. Man, we got so much here, but let's quickly touch on the games last night. It's five games, one thing. There were five on. First one, guys, Sabonis, 23 points, 15 boards, as the Pacers down the Blazers, 111-87. Now, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly for Portland. We'll start with the good. Why not? The good is Blazers broadcaster Lamar Hurd giving No Dunks a shout-out after Miles Turner stuck wedgie number 7. Here's the clip.
Covington whistled for the travel. Pacer ball, Turner, and that is a wedgie. Is that the unofficial term we've gone with?
That's it.
Okay. I was looking for that confirmation.
Shout out to the No Dunks crew.
Yes, Lamar. Second time this season dropping the No Dunks name on a Blazers broadcast. And by the way, it's not an unofficial name for it. It's an official name. It's wedgie. I guess the Pacers broadcast was also like, what? Are we calling that a wedgie? Yes. We have been for years. It's a wedgie. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Done.
So, I don't know. I don't know if Lamar Hurd still wants to get on The Bachelor. I know he applied years back, but if he does, we got to get him on it, and we got to get him on this show as well.
Yes.
I mean, we got to help that guy out.
So that was the good for the Blazers last night. The bad, I guess, the bad was just the loss. And despite leading the NBA in 3-pointers, they just hit 13 of them last night on 43 attempts, 30%. That's rough. But the ugly, and that's sort of what we're starting here with today. During the third quarter, Yusuf Nurkic left the court holding his right wrist, and the Blazers later announced that he has sustained a fracture. This sucks. It was crazy, too, how it happened. He did it swiping at the ball as Brogdon drove baseline, and then you can see him immediately grab his wrist. He still managed to play some defense, like he contested a shot attempt inside. He actually fell to the ground, which you would think when you first see the clip is like, that where he heard it? No, he heard it when he was swiping at the ball. And now he's out indefinitely. And this is a guy, of course, tasked that, you know, recently had just come back. I mean, this was his 20th, I guess, regular season game he had played in since returning from that broken leg way back in March of 2019. So this just sucks for the Blazers. For him, of course, after coming back from that one injury and now another.
I think it's Harry Giles' time. Harry Giles, a young guy who hasn't really got a lot of time in the NBA. Hopefully Nurk isn't out for an extended period, but let's be positive here. Maybe it's a bit of a blessing in disguise because this Blazers team struggles defensively, even though they tried to change things up with Derek Jones Jr. and Robert Covington on the perimeter this season as something new because they knew that they could get by in the backcourt with their offense. Nurk is a guy who struggles to defend in space. I mean, he's a little bit heavy-footed. That's just the way it is. Hopefully he comes back. I don't think this is going to be anywhere near a broken leg that he had to fight so hard to come back from last year. But maybe this, whatever it is, you know, 6 weeks or 2 months, will be Harry Giles' time to show up and be that fleet-footed defender every NBA team needs. Now, he was with the Sacramento Kings. Now he's with the Blazers as a backup. But if you start Enes Kanter, it's a lot more of the same. It's just going to be bad defense in the middle of the lane. So maybe we're going to see some Harry Giles, who obviously isn't a great defender at this point, but I think this could be something that the Blazers need to get to that next level because that defense has to be better, and it hasn't been with Nurkic, and I doubt it's going to be with Enes Kanter. So some Harry Styles would be wonderful for everybody, I think.
What do you do if you're Terry Stotts, Trey? Do you start Kanter and keep, you know, Harry Giles / Harry Styles as your primary backup big? Do you get a little creative? Do you put Melo in the starting lineup at power forward and slide like Covington to center and like go small? You know, Covington played center, of course, for the Pocket Rockets, and then you keep Kanter coming off the bench and stuff like that. Or do you start Giles like Tass is maybe saying there, and that keeps Kanter in his backup role and keeps Melo where he is in his backup role? Like, what would you do if you're Terry Stotts right now?
Well, I wouldn't just go in one direction.
Yeah, baby!
I would unleash Harry Giles. I'm with Tass. As Patrick Asbody points out in the stream team, this guy has been a favorite of the crew since the starter's days. He showed up at Summer League. He told us he wanted to be a dentist, despite the fact that his hands were like as big as my entire body. Can you imagine a dentist with that big of hands messing with your mouth? No, thank you. But I would love to see him get a chance. He's a super talented guy. I think the story goes he was the number one recruit in high school before suffering some injuries. And he's just not really gotten a fair shake with regards to staying on the court and playing time, whether it be from injuries or just being a young guy. Who knows how that would work out for the Blazers? I can't imagine it would change their defense a whole bunch. They're already really bad, though, so they might as well give it a shot because Kanter's not going to be the solution. We know that. He can get you some buckets off the bench. Yeah. He can show up in a playoff game and get 4 offensive rebounds in the second quarter and really help your team out. He's a valuable player, I do think, but I don't think he's the solution in the starting lineup. I would also, if I'm the Blazers, get on the phone with the Cavaliers immediately. Yep. Figure out a way to get one of those centers out of there. I don't think they're going to be able to get Andre Drummond. The price is just too high with regards to contracts and what the Blazers actually have available to trade. But maybe you could get JaVale McGee. Maybe you could get him. He's a guy that's played on three championship teams, who has started alongside stars and who seems to just be having a good time in Cleveland right now. He's shooting threes. He's getting his minutes and seems to be a decent veteran mentor. He's only on a $4 million contract. There are ways that you could easily get JaVale McGee from the Cleveland Cavaliers. Maybe Anfernee Simons, a guy that's not really in the rotation anymore, a guy that I said should be traded last year. You told me I was crazy. This guy's the future. Barely ever plays.
He doesn't
trade
play.
Him. Yeah. Let's get the big guy. They need somebody that's going to help defensively, and I think it could be somebody on the Cavaliers. They've got centers. bequeath them to the rest of the league.
Yeah, Lee, you've been trying to work the trade machine with the Blazers, getting them a big all season long, and now they could really use one with no Nurkic. They still don't have Zach Collins, of course, as one of their other young bigs. So do you see something there in the trade machine? Like Trey is saying, either the Cavs or maybe you have another potential target.
I'm working it feverishly here, trying to get that deal, because exactly, the Cavs have a glut of big guys, but the problem is most of them, apart from JaVale McGee, have a problem. Drummond just costs too much, $28 million. So yeah, you have to throw out an enormous salary to match that one there. And obviously, Jared Allen, I don't think he can even be traded straight away. I think he would be the one they would love to get because he's a young star. But
Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. The Blazers aren't going to, the Cavs aren't going to give him up. So I think JaVale is the guy who's most likely they can get because he's only on a 4 year contract. So yeah, it would cost you Nassir Little or Anthony Simons. But again, if you're the Blazers, you can afford to give up at least one of those guys. And then you're going to have to find some other sort of contract filler in there as well, just to make it work. But yeah, the thing is, as you guys are mentioning there, Enes Kanter, he can fill in that gap for a brief time, but going forward with him long-term is just not going to work. So the Blazers have to figure out something else. And I think that their best option is to have to give up one of their younger players who's shown talent, but in order to sort of save this season or preserve this season as best they can, they're going to have to get some help pretty quickly in there. Harry Giles, we all like him. We all think he's got talent, but and now throwing him into a role where he has to play heavy minutes and be a very, very impactful defender is going to be a big ask for him. I don't quite think he's ready for that challenge just yet. So they need some help. But again, when guys have got so, you know, contracts are just so big right now for those star players, it's very, very hard to get one of those players without having to give up a lot in return. Yeah. You know, and I think Andre Drummond, I think he's gettable if as far as the Cavs are prepared to trade him. But what are you going to give back in return? You know, they simply, you know, Rodney Hood, they just signed him, but I don't think he's going to be what the Cavs are looking for. So, you know, it's going to have to be one of those guys on a smaller contract, and I think JaVale fits that bill. And I think JaVale would be decent for them. You know, we've seen him now. He's got that championship experience, and he's matured as a player, certainly to the point where it's like you would get a professional out there who knows he's got to block shots, grab rebounds, and he can do that stuff. And his offensive game has expanded somewhat, a little bit. So, you know, I think that's the most likely scenario here as a sort of, as a short-term gap for the Blazers, that they get an experienced veteran come in who can have an impact on the team without sacrificing, obviously, one of their bigger contracts. But, yeah, this is a tough one for Jusuf Nurkic. He's, you know, just come back from that big broken leg that he had. And he's also dealing with some issues back home in Bosnia, apparently, which is part of the reason why he hasn't had a great start to this season. So you certainly wish him all the best. And it's such a blow when a guy comes back from an injury, starts playing well like he did down in the bubble, and now he's out again for who knows how long. Who knows? This yeah. one could be a few weeks, could be a few months, really. We're not really sure.
Yeah, are there any other potential center targets, like not the Cavs, tasks that come to mind? Like, is there anything with the Hawks? Like, could you get crazy and try and get a Collins or a Capella from Atlanta? Is there reuniting LaMarcus Aldridge back somehow in Portland as one of their bigs? Al Horford, I'm sure, could be, you know, somehow taken from OKC for a bunch of picks. you know, Presti would like that. PJ Tucker, another name you could throw out there if you go, like, really like what Houston did last year. Anyone else I'm forgetting, or any of those that, like, intrigue you at all?
Well, I guess Aldridge and Al Horford bring that same sort of problem. They make a lot of bucks.
Yeah.
So that would be an issue. But yeah, PJ Tucker is still on that very, very cheap contract for him. What is he at? He's still around like 10, 11, 12 or something, right?
I think so.
8 maybe? I don't know.
Yeah,
I
don't remember. He signed that 4 year 36, yeah. Was it?
$7.9 million he's on.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, it's a declining contract. Yeah, yeah. Sign him up. That sort of makes sense. I mean, you're going to be super small.
But he's used to it.
Yeah.
Loves playing super small. The problem is that the Blazers also just gave away 2 first-round picks for Robert Covington over the offseason. So that's going to be tough. Another target suggested in the stream team, could they call the Orlando Magic for Mo Bamba? Remember Mo Bamba? He's still around. He's very tall. Not dissimilar to a Harry Giles-like player. Super hyped. In high school, this guy had a song that was a hit song made about him before he played a game in the NBA. Hasn't done much, but maybe he just needs the opportunity as well.
Yeah, those are all you know, potential targets, I guess. We'll see if they do anything, or maybe they just, like, at least at the start say, all right, Harry, let's go, man. Let's see that high school potential. Let's play some defense here and get out and run. We'll find out. The Pacers, by the way, Sabonis, as I said, 23-15. Brogdon, also 25-7. These guys are playing without Caris LeVert in this game. He is not there yet. Like, all these guys got to pass their physicals before like these guys can come to this team, to their teams, their new respective teams. So big win, though, from Indiana. They led by 25 in like the second quarter and sort of just maintained that little double-digit lead for the rest of the way. Good, good victory in Portland, where they hadn't won in a long time. So Indiana, man, I'm telling you, jump on board. They're a fun team to watch, and they're good. They really are. All right, let's keep it going here. Rockets rally past the Spurs 109-105 in their first game without Harden. Yeah, short-staffed, but they got the victory there on TNT. Trey, big takeaway.
What a feel-good win for the Rockets this is. It's like you're saying, the first game post-James Harden, they're playing a rival in the Spurs. Conditions are perfect, but y'all, this is Christian Wood's team now. He's a total two-name guy. I don't think anybody calls him Christian. I know nobody calls him Wood. It's always Christian Wood, and he was straight up balling last night. 27 points, 15 rebounds, 5 threes, and a legendary interview after the game when he called Shaquille O'Neal a casual. Oh, right in his face. I mean, to be fair, I said, I don't know if Christian Wood is just getting numbers for the Detroit Pistons. He started playing really well last season, after all the trades with Andre Drummond and John Henson. And it kind of just seemed like, yeah, big guys are going to score a whole bunch when you're... Big guys are going to score and rebound a whole bunch when you miss a bunch of shots, and there's not a lot of offensive talent to go around. But this guy looks like the main piece for Houston right now. Because, yeah, John Wall has played well. He didn't play last night, but he's played well. He's still on the tail end of the prime of his career. He's still recovering from injuries, and he's obviously on that huge deal. As we saw, the Rockets targeted picks over players with regards to the package they chose for James Harden. But at least Christian Wood seems like a quality building piece. The guy was stroking threes last night. He was making plays off the dribble. He plays vertically as well. He's definitely a new style center. 215 pounds, they said. This guy is skinnier than J.E. Skeets, but this was a fun game to watch. The traded superstar bounce is very similar to the fired coach bounce. Everybody goes out and wants to prove that they are not the reason this team is bad. Every NBA player is good, as we've said before. Jayshon Tate showed out last night. Sterling Brown hit some big shots down the stretch. If you're a Rockets fan, after the Harden Days Night saga that has roiled the team for months, you got to be happy that now James Harden is gone and you went out and your new guy that you brought in over the offseason dominated on a national TV game. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a fun game down the stretch. You know, DeRozan had a pretty good look there, I guess, to tie it up. But, yeah, Sterling Brown taking Harden's spot, 23-7-3. You're right, Trey. I mean, all these guys, given the opportunity, can generally perform. And Jayshon Tate, Jayshon Tank, that guy, man. Guy's built 13-10-5 for him. So this is a great victory, and I love the Wood. I'm going to call him Wood. You're a casual line to Shaq, who didn't hear it, by the way. Eh? Like, Shaq had no idea he had said that to him. But yeah, come on, you should know who he is.
I think I'm okay with Shaq not knowing who he is.
Shaq doesn't. He knows like two players on each team, I bet.
Yeah, but the Pistons are never on national television. Ever. They weren't even on TNT last year once.
Right.
So it's not part of his job description. He doesn't have to talk about the Pistons.
That's true. I mean, he has been on the Rockets all this season, but
He scored 20 in every game except for one.
I understand what you're saying, though.
He's played 9 games with the Rockets. It's true. Yeah. It's true, but the funniest part is when guys on TNT don't know anybody's name. In this one, Christian Wood, but as a lot of people thought, maybe he's just overachieving on a Pistons team, especially when the majority of those games were coming off the bench playing against backup guys.
Yeah. But
that's why scouts are good, and they realize that this guy can play. And unfortunately for the Pelicans, they released him in 2019. That would be an amazing fit for them if he was their starting center right now, and probably a lot cheaper. He's kind of, Hassan Whiteside has dropped off, but he is a big man that kind of bounced around summer league, that kind of thing. And now he's found his way with the Houston Rockets.
Felt good for Steven Silas there last night, right, Lately, to get that victory with the Harden thing, in their rearview mirror, and to go on national TV. And all these guys, and a lot of people, Shaq and casuals, have no idea who half these guys are. And they put up a great fight again. So, a team in the Spurs that always put up a good fight and were right there, right there, as I said, down to the end. That's I felt good. I felt happy for him, Stephen.
Yeah, he's been in such a tough spot since he took over that coaching job, because he can't trash James Harden. He wasn't going to do that, but he also needed to move on from that situation that he knew was a lame duck status. So now that they're out, they go and get a big win against a big rival, and Pop was not happy after the game as well. He said four or five of his guys were out to lunch. It had nothing to do with offense or defense. It was in between the ears, he said.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I think you could honestly, if you've watched Rockets games this season, last night there was certainly like the pressure had been released from that team, that they were just playing freely, and finally that situation had been resolved, especially to do it without John Wall, who has been playing decent for them this season. It was just like, all right, finally we can move on now. We know what's going to happen with this team going ahead. So that was good for them. But Jayshon Tate was another one who spent last season in Australia's NBL. Mm. So that's him and LaMelo Ball. It's great to have those guys out there playing out well in the NBA. It's great for the NBL, which started last night, by the way, the NBL season. If you want to watch more basketball, check
that out. Wow.
Who's looking good this year?
Yeah, who got your eyes on?
I think the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix.
Wonder why you picked them. Yeah. They sent you a jersey.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe I haven't got it on. I should go and get it. But yeah, it's great. The NBL, last season was great. Great exposure for the NBL. So happy to have it back.
Awesome. All right, our next game in the NBA from last night. Shake Milton sparks the 76ers past the undermanned Heat. 125-108. Tass, big takeaway.
Well, yeah, Shake Milton was phenomenal, and I think this whole team was ready to move on after the coronavirus tracing that's been going through their locker room and just all of the rumors going on with Ben Simmons being potentially dealt for James Harden. I think this team just came out focused, especially Shake Milton had missed three games, and he had a blast out there. And I think he's not the front runner for sixth man. I think that could be Terrence Ross. I think Joe Harris could have a shot if he goes to the bench with the big three in Brooklyn. Chris Boucher, he's got to be starting for the Raptors soon, so he's not going to be sixth man. We'll get to that soon. Jordan Clarkson is up there. But Shake Milton, it's nice when the talk preseason actually comes true, because Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers were saying, look at this guy in our camp, man. This guy is phenomenal. Usually that person is just sort of being bigged up by his front office or his coaching staff or whatever, and that player is, the same player that he was the year before. But Shake Milton, he is incredible. And I think he took it a little bit personally. The deal was for Ben Simmons, the rumors, I should say, were for Ben Simmons. But Shake Milton would have had a far reduced role if James Harden came there. So I think Shake Milton had something to prove yesterday. He has lived up to everything that Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey said in the preseason. They said he was amazing, and he is absolutely that. He is a ball handler for them, could be playing in crunch time. He's really grown since last year. He's a baller. I mean, he's going to be their sixth man, no doubt. And I think he's going to win the sixth man of the year when it's all said and done.
Wow, there it is. Yeah, 31 last night. They missed his playmaking for sure. He's good in the pick and roll. He's got some chemistry with Dwight Howard of all guys. They got a nice little 1-2 going when they go pick and roll action. He was fantastic in this. Yeah, the Heat, as I said, undermanned again. I mean, they don't have any of their guys. just nobody that on the Heat really are playing for them outside of really like Tyler Hero. But good victory there with not Embiid and Simmons had did Simmons get a triple-double in the end?
Did.
I think he did, but
yeah.
Like not monster lines by any means from Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons, Lee, and they still get the victory with everybody else contributing.
I was very impressed with Ben Simmons' response to the trade, because he kind of pouted the other night. He didn't look like he was into it, and he goes out there last night against a shorthanded team for sure, but gets a triple-double, but also the way he spoke after the game, he kind of acknowledged it. He said, this is a part of business. I just can control the things I can control. And this is someone who I mentioned the other day hasn't responded well to sort of snubs in the past from Basketball Australia. And I think this would have been a tough blow for him to deal with when he realized, like, they tried to trade me for James Harden. It didn't happen. So the best response you can do is to just accept and understand that was part of the business and then go out there and play on the court the best way you can. And I thought he had a very good performance last night. Again, to go and get that triple-double, that's the best way to sort of silence everyone and to just move on and say, yep, I mean, that happened, but it didn't happen in the end. So I'm just going to go out there and do what I do best. And he was good last night. He didn't have to go out there and destroy the other team. He just had to play and show that he was probably the best player on the court there last night. And I think he did that. So very, very impressed with his response to his first sort of real, issue where the team has basically said, we tried to trade you, but we didn't. So yeah. Now we're going to move ahead with you.
Yeah.
Would you say he put the toothpaste back in the tube?
He did. I would say he did do that. Yes.
You said 99 times out of 100, it can't be done. That means one time.
One time.
That was the one time. And honestly, like I say, I didn't think he would have responded so quickly, so well to that. I thought it would have taken him a few days to deal with it, because it must be tough when you're a star player. You've got the big contract. You're an all-star. And then all of a sudden the team's like, yeah, but we think there's someone better than you, so we're going to trade you. I mean, it must be hard to deal with for a young player.
Totally. But not even just Simmons, like other guys on that roster. Sure. Names are being thrown out, like young guys, right, at that, in Maxey and Thybulle. Yeah, it either does one of two things. All those trade rumors, they have an effect, I think, on the guy's psyche in the locker room. It's like, it either, once it's done and doesn't happen, it's like, yeah, you struggle to move on from it, Lee, like you were saying, as we thought maybe would be the case with Ben Simmons. Or it like can galvanize a team, I think, a little bit too, like, all right, we're all here. Let's go. Let's go to war, at least for now. And you know, sort of brings them together a little bit more. It can do that.
Remember when Anthony Davis was basically being traded to the Lakers, and Kuzma and Lonzo Ball and Ingram? Those guys basically said, like, we felt bad in the locker room because the Lakers were like, yeah, we're trading all you guys for Anthony Davis. Then it fell through.
Right.
So they had to sort of move ahead, knowing that the team, I mean, Magic Johnson, I think it was, basically said, yeah, we're going to trade all these guys. You can take whoever you want. We want Anthony Davis. And it fell through. And that did create division within that locker room and created a bad environment.
Yeah. So, so far, so good. One game for the Sixers. Again, taking on the Underman Heat. They got it done. All right, next one. Jokic and the Nuggets hold off Curry and the Warriors. 114-104 win. 10-point win there for Denver. Lele, what do you got?
This was an impressive victory from the Nuggets because they've been inconsistent this season. And after that first 5 minutes or so, the Nuggets, it was a wire-to-wire victory from like the 44-minute mark onwards. And that's something we just haven't seen from them this season. They haven't really been able to sort of close teams off. The Warriors, Steph Curry was great, but too many turnovers, too many sort of sloppy passes. And the Nuggets cashed in on those, I thought, last night, which was something they need to do. They need to be a team that beats teams like the Warriors, because they're a better team than the Warriors. Mm-hmm. And we just haven't seen that so far. So Jokic, triple-double, very good performance again by him. And finally, I just sort of watched the Nuggets and I thought, this is closer to their better, the best version of themselves. They're still missing a few players, of course, but that's what they need to be like. And Jokic, he's just a beautiful player to watch out there on the court. And they got a good victory. So it's taken them a couple of weeks here to show up. Jamal Murray still can't shoot, but I think they're starting to find it. I think so after that. They'll probably go out and lose their next game by 20 points. But, you know, because the Warriors are a tricky team right now. They're a very tricky team, especially with Draymond out there. It just gives them a completely different look. And that was the sort of game where it's like, you can see the Nuggets at home blowing this one, but they didn't do that. So good on the Nuggets for getting a somewhat convincing victory.
I always love to see how a coach and a team tries to take on a squad like the Warriors that's really a one-man offensive show. Like, and what I mean by that is, do you try and take away Curry and make everybody else try and beat you? Or do you actually let Curry get his? You can't stop Curry. You can only hope to contain him. And take away everybody else. And I think that's what the Nuggets sort of did in this one a little bit more. But I love that sort of debate. Like, you know, we've seen, of course, how the Raptors play like a Curry and how they play like a Lillard and stuff like that. And other teams do. I just love, like, which one, and maybe it changes from night to night. And maybe you need to mix it up, Trey. But it's sort of fun to watch. Like, no, let Curry's going to get his, but just take away everybody else. And the points aren't going to be there in the end for that team to get the victory.
Well, unfortunately, everybody else is the problem for the Warriors, and that's why it's time for them to make a change in the starting lineup. You cannot play four non-shooters with Steph Curry. I know Andrew Wiggins is stroking it right now. He's almost at 40% from three, but he's still not a guy that inspires fear in the hearts of a defense. When he catches the ball out there, you're like, okay, shoot it, bud. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll make it, because you're not going to be making a play. It should be a pick and roll with James Wiseman or Draymond Green every single time down the court. David Lee needs to be into the starting lineup for Kelly Oubre Jr., I would say.
David Lee, I love it.
David Lee, sorry. I wrote down D. Lee.
I know.
I wrote down D. Lee. Give me Damian.
We've been talking about Melo being the new Melo. Damian Lee is the new D. Lee.
David
They're
Lee,
calling
the new
him that.
D. Lee, like, hey, for the Warriors. Wow, yeah. Don't just put D. Lee in your notes if you're an old man. But I know Steve Kerr doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to play hero ball, but when you're going up with James Wiseman, who has an athletic advantage over Nikola Jokic, that should be a rim run every single time. They should have had Jokic in the pick and roll every single time down the court, because that's the easiest way for the Warriors to generate points. It's like, why are you having Steph Curry set screens? That's what you've done for years, and it's worked for years, but you had Klay Thompson out there. There's nobody else to take the attention off of Steph Curry. He cannot carry the team entirely because he's the only guy that can get a shot for anybody. Maybe David Lee would help on the short rolls, finding guys in the corner. But I think it's time now. The offense isn't quite good enough. They didn't have it defensively. It's been a long week for the Warriors. I think they played 5 games in 8 weeks. Now they got 3 days off to kind of rest and recoup. It's tough going into Denver, no doubt about it. But I've seen enough of this bad offense when you got one of the best offensive players out there.
Maybe Steve Kerr will take your advice there and they start switching it up a little bit. Yeah, they've played a lot, you're right, over the last 8 days. Is it five games? Holy man, that is a ton. Well, our final game from last night, Raptors hold off the Hornets to snap a 2-game losing streak. They got the victory, Tass. It wasn't all that inspiring, though, scoring 12 points in the fourth quarter, though there were some good takeaways for Raps fans. What's your big one?
Sure, yeah, it feels a little bit like the Raptors. It feels like some second tier guys, you know, some of those guys deep on the bench are starting to play. You know, it's a bit of the Raptors culture. I'm not even going to say the Miami Heat. Oh, I just did. But the Raptors have that same culture as well, right? You got Utah Watanabe out there balling.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry. Yeah, he's just a tough SOB out there. I remember last year when we were at the Chicago All-Star game, we happened to see Utah Watanabe in a lobby of a hotel. Very unassuming. You know, we just walked by him. I think it was Trey and I. And I was like, yeah, that's Utah Watanabe. No one was talking to him.
No.
I love how Kyle Lowry...
Watanabe in the lobby. That's yeah. Bars.
Watan lobby. Kyle Lowry calls Watanabe. He says the team calls him Bobby Webster, who is the Raptors GM, because he kind of looks like
yeah, him, a little bit. They're both very handsome men.
They are handsome men. Webster, yeah, I think comes from Japanese descent as well. And my man Dave Sutton said Utah Watanabe reminds him of Jorge Garbajosa. I think that's pretty fitting. Like, he gets on the floor. He moves the ball. He can put the ball on the floor as well for a few dribbles. He just makes the right play. There's that inbound in the first half where it looked like they were going to lose the ball, but Watanabe just made a smart play to steal it. Like, he's just great. And Eric Kareen actually has a great write-up on him on The Athletic. But I want to talk about Chris Boucher, who is... he's a blast to watch. He's 28 years old. He blossomed really late in the league. You're talking about the Golden State Warriors and a little gem that they had. He was on their G League team. He was a two-way player for them. I think he got a ring back in 2018. He played like half a game for them, but I think he got a ring, and then he went to the Raptors and won a ring. He keeps starting in second halves because they just don't have a great center role. Like, they don't have a good spot for Aaron Baines to find anything. He can't get anything going. And so Boucher comes in and balls out. He had 25 and 10 in this one. And I wonder at some point, even though he's foul prone, and it sure makes sense to start him in the second half, does Nick Nurse turn to Chris Boucher? Because that guy can shoot the three, stretches the floor. He's confident as hell. And he's Canadian. So I love the guy. So I would like to see Chris Don't Call Me Bobby Boucher, as the Nuggets broadcasters once called him. To start, get him in there. I think they need some hope, some help on the offensive end, because Aaron Baines just ain't cutting it right now, and Alex Len wasn't in this one, but he ain't cutting it right now. But yeah, it felt a little more Raptor-like, and now they have a quote-unquote home stretch here in Tampa where they're going to play some games. So everybody kind of, you know, they played hard. They played hard, and that's all you can ask from this Raptors team. I think they're going to get wins. Lowry's quote, let me read this about Utah Watanabe, because I just saw it out of the side of my eye. The kid is playing so hard. He plays so hard. Then he talked about everything he does. Then his last line was, he just plays with an extreme hardness. That's right. Hardness, baby. That's what the Raptors got to play with. And they can get back. Right, Skeets? They're 3-8, but they can get back to 500. They can do it.
It's the greatest 3-8 team in NBA history. You all know that. Yeah, it was a brutal fourth quarter. I mean, it was rough. Dude, they scored 12 points, 5 of 23, 1 of 11 from deep. I mean, you saw a lot of zone from the Hornets. You're going to see a lot more of it on Saturday, I would think, when they play again. Because it was working, that 1-3-1 zone. So hopefully the Raptors are a little better prepared. But Boucher, you're right, Tass. I want to know, Lee, does Australia still consider Aaron Baines one of theirs? Or is he back to being a New Zealand boy? Because, yeah, that's what I thought. You're sending him back to the other island. Oh, man. It's rough.
He can't get into his groove right now, that's for sure. In and out of the lineup a little bit doesn't help, but when he's been out there, he hasn't been great. But they need him. They need him, because if he's at his best, I think it's great for the Raptors to have a big guy who can defend and stretch the floor a little bit, because that's what he did in Phoenix. But haven't seen that Aaron Baines yet in Toronto. I still believe in him because he's a very professional player. He keeps himself ready to go. He can ride the pine a little bit and take those DNP CDs. He'll be ready to go when he's called upon. And mark my words.
He can't catch the ball. Okay, he can't rebound. I don't think I've ever seen him grab a rebound with two hands. He taps. He does that like he's Dennis Rodman out there. And I hate to say it, but like he ain't stretching the floor. That guy's clogging up everything, like you and your morning poop. He is just there, and like already it's rough for the Raptors. Like Siakam and guys driving in there, and it's like, oh well, I'm just running into Bainesy now. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah. Well, look, I eat a lot of fiber, so I don't clog it up too much. But with Bainesy, the thing is, look, he came in late. He came in late to the season, didn't really get a chance to figure out the system, and they started off badly. I'm not making any excuses for him. I'm just sort of saying this is the situation.
There's me we're showing to everybody that listens to our podcast.
But like I say, Bainesy, I think he will get it together at some point, and you'll see the impact and see why the Raptors signed him to a two-year, $15 million deal, because he, for Australia, he really understands how to sort of fit himself into the role. And I think he did that. He's done that in the NBA and other stops. It's just he hasn't been able to do that yet in Toronto. But look, if you want to not punish yourself, do not watch the fourth quarter of basketball last night between the Hornets and the Raptors. That was one of the ugliest quarters I have ever seen in basketball. But this goes back to what I was saying sort of the last week or so with the Raptors is they got the win, and that, I think, is just really, really important here because the Raptors have been losing games that have been unlosable. Last night, they clung on for dear life. I think Matt Devlin said that, actually, at the end. He said, the Raptors hang on for dear life. Him and Jack are still having a great time in the commentary box as well.
Jack Armstrong is on fire. Devlin, you know, Devlin calls out like a Canadian city when a Raptors player hits a three. He dropped, I'm trying to remember the name of the city that he called, but he said like Fort Weston. Yeah. And then Jack's like, where is that? And Devlin, you could tell, had no idea where it was because he had just seen a tweet that somebody said, hey, can you give a shout out to, I think it was Fort Pleasant or something like that.
And
then he's like, you hear Jack going, are you Googling it? And he's like, Devlin's like, no, like for the tweet. Oh, they're gold. They're comedy gold.
And that's the thing. You wouldn't think the team is 3-8 based on the way that their chemistry is rolling. So,
Jack Armstrong, he's all worried about Saturday, right? Because the Bills are playing. He is a huge Buffalo Bills fan, and I think the Raptors game is on at the exact same time there, Tass. Yeah. So he's going to be in trouble there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Raptors, considering basketball is the shortest of the four major sports, will be long done before the Bills game is done.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's an 8 o'clock start for the Bills. I assume the Raptors aren't starting at 8. It's probably like a 7:30.
Probably a 7, maybe a 7.
You got a nice quarter and a half. Probably a second half of the Bills game. Football's long.
Okay, good. All right, so that's five games, one thing. Great stuff, guys.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's get to best of the week, I think.
Ladies and gentlemen, the best of the week. Uh-huh.
What's going on here, Tass? Week two, and we've gotten rid of Worst of the Week?
Yeah, it's a little bit in the spirit of Trey Kirby. Let's be a little positive here in 2021. Best of the week this week is Jason Doyle.
Oh!
The man on Wednesday stepped up to the plate and hit back-to-back-to-back-to-back jacks. He was a quadzilla. He went fofo, fofo. He hit four shows out of the park, producing four shows. So, JD, that was fantastic stuff. However, I'm not going to pretend that I'm a positive Pete. JD, you're also worst of the week.
Ladies and gentlemen, the worst of the week.
On one of those shows, our beach podcast, we found out that James Harden had been dealt live on the air. So this is our reaction. Going to replay it for you here. This is our reaction to James Harden being dealt. And for those of you watching on YouTube, just watch JD's reaction right here. I mean, he's exuberant.
What a weird, weird podcast this was. Has James Harden?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yes, 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 he has. Brooklyn. Go to Brooklyn.
Whoa.
Whoa. Wow, let's hear it. What do you got? You got details?
Well, Woj is just saying Brooklyn is acquiring James Harden. That's all they've got so far.
We got time. Let's just sit here for
a minute. No, let's wrap this up. By the time we get this bad boy up, then we're ready to do our emergency pod.
Wow. 1 minute ago, that was Woj with Roma Shelburne saying that Brooklyn is acquiring him. So, yeah,
who's
going to get the next deal?
You could hear the excitement in the four of us. You know, we were very pumped, but JD, zero reaction. Much like a zero reaction the last decade and a half as we've done a basketball
show. I watched that clip about a million times.
So did I, Lee. I watched it 10 straight times yesterday. And then people started adding like the Curb Your Enthusiasm music to it and the Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you said, it was the fourth show, the end of the third show.
The reason I think a lot of people made this observation was that you realized,
oh my God,
we got to do a fourth show. At that moment, we're seeing the wheels churn in there.
If it had happened at 30 minutes before, we wouldn't have had to do that extra show. We would have just been part of the show, and that would have been it. And hey, you know, I don't know what to say. I was bummed.
I mean, well, you got best of the week in addition to worst of the week.
True.
So congrats on that. And I will say, I mean, that emergency podcast, biggest show we've ever done on YouTube.
That's
in terms
true.
Of people tuning in and stuff like that and watching it. We've had some of our biggest days ever, I believe, ever in terms of straight up podcast downloads because of all the content you're producing here and pumping out. So that's good, right? Yeah. Silver lining there.
Hey, it's been a great week. A great couple of weeks at the Classic Factory, I'll say
that. Oh, my God. Absolutely. Ah, yes. Great clip. Great, great clip. So funny. Just, see the wheels turning. JD going, I'm going to need a goddamn drink here. Now we got to talk hard enough for an hour. Amazing. Okay. We got a little top five fun here on the drop. What do you got for us, TK?
Top five. Oh, baby. It's a top five Friday on a full squad Friday. We have been talking about James Harden and his trade from the Houston Rockets quite a bit. Of course, he made a trade request, finally said it out loud in public. I've done everything I can for this city. I'm out of here. He's been traded, but while it was dramatic for us in the moment, is it the most dramatic trade request of all time? I think not. Mm. Here are your top five dramatic trade requests. At number five, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar requests a trade from the Bucks. A legendary trade request. Changed the history of the league forever, but this was a classy trade request. This comes from Thomas Bonk at the LA Times. In a suite of rooms at the Sheraton Hotel in downtown Milwaukee, after a dinner of beef Wellington, red wine, and assorted cheeses, the National Basketball Association's most valuable player, the most dominant figure in the game, told his employers he didn't want to work for them anymore. I love it. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar invites management out for a beef Wellington and some cheese and then says, I am going to be leaving this team. Kareem told him, Lakers or Knicks? Of course the Knicks struck out. Kareem was traded with Walt Wesley to the Lakers for Junior Bridgman, Dave Myers, Elmore Smith, and Lee, I know you love it, Brian Winters.
Shout out to Brian Winters.
The mustache! Brian Winters did have a mustache.
I still love how your father-in-law is still salty on that trade there, Trey. I can't believe they traded Alcindor to the Lakers, he said.
Let it go, Dwayner.
Can you blame him, though? The rest is literal history. Five titles for the Lakers, 13 All-Star appearances in 14 seasons, 3 more MVPs. He's got a statue. I do think the Lakers won this trade, all things considered.
Probably.
The only reason it's number five, it's before my time. It's even before Lee's time. This came out in 1975. Just goes to show you, trade demands have been around forever.
That was a dark Brian Winters for that.
Hey, Brian Winters is a big Bills fan. The Brian Winters we know.
Is Brian it the same Winters, guy?
Oh, yeah.
Brian Winters, a Vancouver Grizzlies head coach once upon a time, too. Yeah. I'm hungry, man. I love me some beef Wellington.
God. Oh, that's good, man. That flaky pastry on the outside?
It's hard
I feel like
to make,
Danielle made a beef Wellington like 8 years ago for a Christmas party, right? At Matty O's house. I'm still thinking about that beef Wellington. Wow. I think I've had one since. Good. Two cups.
I bet you that's the last time I had one, for sure.
It's good. It's hard to do, say the chefs, apparently. It's a lot of work, I guess. I think that's a test for chefs, is if they can make a creamy Abdul-Jabbar Wellington. A creamy beef Wellington, boo. Anyway, yeah, go on. It's creamy, you know, the mushroom paste. Anyway, go on.
At number four, Eric Bledsoe tells the Phoenix Suns, I don't want to be here. I don't know if this was the first trade request via Twitter, but it's the most famous. October 22, 2017, 3 games into the season, Eric Bledsoe of the Phoenix Suns tweets, I don't want to be here. Everybody knew it was about the Suns. They had got close to the playoffs in 2013-14. They brought in a bunch of point guards the next year. It was a failed experiment, and they were trending downward. The Suns got absolutely smacked those first 3 games, combined margin of defeat, 92 points. As ABC 15 Sports reported at the time, then Phoenix GM Ryan McDonough asked Bledsoe about the tweet, and McDonough responded in a press conference. Bledsoe said he was at the hair salon with his girl, and he didn't want to be there anymore. I don't believe that to be true. Neither did we. The Suns sent him home a couple of weeks later. He was traded to the Bucks for... No one remembers.
Brandon Knight?
No, Greg Monroe and a first-round pick that eventually made its way to Memphis after being part of an Aaron Baines trade and an Enes Kanter trade, ended up being Desmond Bane, who was drafted this season by the Grizzlies. Bledsoe, worst of the year on the starters in 2017-18. My favorite part about this request, the tweet is still up. This guy hasn't deleted this tweet.
Wow, respect for that.
Exactly.
Most people, you know, they send a bad tweet and then they like take it down immediately or a little bit after at least. He left it there. All right. Maybe he was at the hair salon.
It's a good point. He's like, I'm sticking to my story.
I was at the hair salon.
I still don't like going.
Yeah.
Great stuff. At number three, Jimmy Butler's media blitz. The most recent on our list. This was a banger. And if this is number three, just imagine how good numbers two and one are. After the Bulls traded Jimmy after literally the best season of his career, Butler reunited with his old coach Tom Thibodeau in Minnesota. It was all good year one. Jimmy, Karl-Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, and some old Bulls won 47 games. Broke a 13-season playoff drought. They look like a team on the rise. I remember the next season coming in, people were saying, they're going to win 55 games this year. Not so much. In September, the Athletic's Shams Charania and John Krasinski reported Jimmy had requested a trade in a meeting with Tom Thibodeau, but Tom thought he could work things out with Jimmy. Nope. Jimmy had requested to be traded to the Nets, Clippers, or Knicks since they had huge cap space. Woo! That's weird to think about. Anyways, a week before the season, Jimmy finally shows up at training camp. He teams up with the third stringers to beat the starters, all while berating the entire organization as he'd done it. You f***ing need me! You can't win without me! According to Woj, he dominated the gym in every way. And it wasn't over. Immediately after practice, Jimmy has a TV interview set up with ESPN's Rachel Nichols, where he says, I'm not the most talented player on our team. Who's the most talented player on our team? Cat. Who's the most God-gifted player on our team? Wiggs. Who plays the hardest? Me! I play hard. I put my body on the line every day in practice, every day in games. That's my passion. All I want to do is work hard and be the man. He didn't say that, but... He basically said that. You couldn't find a trade partner in time for the season to start, so Jimmy played 10 games with the Wolves that season. Eventually, he started sitting for general soreness. Remember that old meme?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, classic. Eventually, he was traded to the Sixers with Justin Patton for Robert Covington, Dario Saric and a second rounder.
Yikes!
General Soreness was traded with General Patton.
I would love to know what the Wolves record is since that trade. It must be awful. I know they've had some injuries as well, but
it's bad.
Oh my God.
It's bad, and that was kind of like a stamp on the reputations of Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, right? That whole month of November through December with Jimmy and the Wolves kind of sealed the fate of how people are going to be thinking about the Wolves until they get back to the playoffs, which they are not close.
No.
All right, number two, Kobe Bryant makes his trade request in public. The year was 2007, and Kobe was done with the Lakers. Lakers were a 500 team after Shaq was traded in 04. Kobe led the league in scoring back-to-back seasons, 06 and 07. This is kind of black hole Mamba when he was shooting all the time.
Oh, yeah.
In May, Kobe made a trade request on Stephen A. Smith's radio show. Apparently, he was mad that the Lakers hadn't included Andrew Bynum in a trade for Jason Kidd at the deadline the previous season. He posted on his website, KB24, that him and the Lakers didn't have the same vision. And then there was news about this mysterious video that was out there on the internet. Kobe allegedly trashing Mitch Kupchak and Andrew Bynum. It's the early internet, so it doesn't just get out right away. The people who had this video tried to sell it to the Lakers. They tried to sell it to the New York Times. They tried to sell it to ESPN. According to Mark Stein, according to Howard Beck at the New York Times, the video's owners claimed that a Lakers fan offered to buy the video and keep it private, but the people who took it wanted to instead charge $1.99 through their website to watch this video.
Oh my God.
Super weird, right? Eventually, the video did come out. You can still find super grainy clips of it. The biggest line from this was Kobe talking about Andrew Bynum saying, "Ship his ass out, get him out of here." And I mean, honestly, if you could have gotten Jason Kidd, maybe that would have been a good trade. Nonetheless, the Lakers shopped Kobe. He almost went to the Bulls. The Lakers wanted Luol Deng back from the Bulls, but Kobe wanted to play with Luol Deng in Chicago, so it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. That season, the Lakers swing a midseason trade for Pau Gasol. Kobe wins MVP. Then they win back-to-back Laker titles. Kobe retires a Laker. He's going to soon have a statue. It's impossible to think of Kobe in a different uniform, but man, it was close. It was super close. Yeah. But it goes to show you, not every trade request gets honored. You can mend fences.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then as those early internet days went on, we saw those Kobe photos of pre-draft with, you know, a Boston Celtics shirt on and those kind of things. It just never, never, ever makes sense mentally to see Kobe in any other attire other than purple and gold.
So weird. But number one, you already know, it's the Dwightmare.
Oh.
Started back in 2011 after the lockout. Dwight told the Orlando Magic he wanted to be traded to the New Jersey Nets, the Lakers or the Mavericks. The Magic tried to convince him to stay. As Mark Stein and Chad Ford reported at ESPN, Howard is known for changing his view on the matter on a near daily basis. And honestly, that's what it was like for the entire season. I feel like during the 11-12 season on the podcast back in the TBJ days, we were talking about does White want to be a Magic or does he not want to be a Magic? Does he? Does he not? Is he going to sign this thing? Is he not going to sign this team? They almost had a trade with the Nets, would have landed Gerald Wallace back to the Magic, would have paired Dwight with Deron Williams on the Nets, and apparently they wanted to sign Gilbert Arenas with the cap space they were going to have.
Mm.
But the reports were that Dwight wanted a trade. Dwight says, no, I don't. At the trade deadline, he signed in to be there the next season. I remember that. Everybody's like, huh? This guy's been talking about getting out for months and months and months, and now he's signing up for another year soon thereafter. The news was that Dwight was only going to stay if Stan Van Gundy was gone, which culminated in perhaps the most awkward press conference in NBA history. Take a look.
The only thing I'm ever uncomfortable with is bullshit, you know? And so to come in and no comment or deny that it's true and everything, I mean, the only thing, I guess, David, that ever liberates me is just, you know, be honest and deal with what's out there. Some people have a hard time with that, I guess, but to me, that's a lot easier to deal with than bullshit. Well, obviously, it'll be a management decision. They have to make the decision, but I ain't worried about that, so.
Yeah, Stan, we're not worried about that, right?
That's what I just said. We got to be worried about winning games.
Yeah, what's our main concern right now? Jameer.
We have to stop Carmelo Anthony and the New York Knicks tonight.
And the New York Knicks.
That's exactly
That's
right.
the plan, right?
That is the plan. That's what I just said.
Is Dave Ping here today? The guy who started this BS?
I don't see Ping here.
Me neither.
Are you guys done with me?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all.
You can talk to him now.
All right.
Dwight, are the stories true about?
Come on, man. Yeah, the stories from Dave Pink are true.
Stan just said they were true.
Yeah. What was true?
Stan just said that you wanted him fired.
I said that?
Yeah, that's what Stan said.
Who did I say that to?
According to
what? I don't know. I'm just telling you.
I'm asking you, since you guys got so many sources.
I missed that.
Oh my goodness. So good. What are we worried about? We're worried about how to stop Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
What a line by Stan Van Gundy. 2 weeks later, Dwight had back surgery that summer. Orlando trades Dwight to the Lakers, where it was a disaster the first time around. The Lakers sent Andrew Bynum to the Sixers. He never played for them. Andre Iguodala went to the Nuggets, played one season before going to the Warriors. And the Magic got Nick Vucevic, who will probably be Orlando's all-time leading scorer by the time he's done there. It just goes to show, you don't really know who won a trade long until after it's happened, because nobody was thinking, oh man, the big winner in this one's the Magic. They got a franchise cornerstone. They did.
Diet Pepsi had a good PR out of that as well. Everyone
time.
Remembers that. But yeah, Vooch and Diet Pepsi. Those are the two winners of that trade.
I got a question with that clip, because I had never really noticed it maybe the first time. You know how Dwight, when he comes in and he puts his arm around Stan Van, and he goes, hey, Jameer. He's obviously calling out to Jameer Nelson, who's on the team, you know, one of the vets on the squad. Like, what do you think he's doing there? Like, is he saying, had he had talked to Jameer and like, you know, I'm going to go crash Stan's, you know, little scrum there, or I'm going to show some solidarity by doing it, or maybe Jameer was even like, you should show some solidarity. Like, he's obviously trying to get Jameer's attention to see him standing there with Stan Van, but I always wondered, like, what? Why is he doing that? What's he trying to prove there?
No idea.
Great question.
Yeah. I don't know. Again, with Dwight, it could be one or the other. Like, it was almost like a bet. Like, oh, I'm going to go blow up his scrum here. This will be awkward. Or the opposite of like, no, I'll make everything look better and I'll go and put my arm around coach and then I'll call out Dave Ping, who's not there. He's making golf balls somewhere. I don't know. But what a weird... awkward clip.
It's just so perfect that Stan Van Gundy's like, the only thing I can't stand is bullshitting. And yep. Then Dwight just saunters in. Hey, was somebody talking bullshit? What are you guys? So good. Those are your top five most dramatic trade requests in NBA history. Honorable mention, Anthony Davis. That's all, folks. Vince Carter with the Raptors. Pretty much the same as we've seen from James Harden here. Kawhi Leonard with the Spurs. Just weird. And Steve Francis, when he was drafted by the Grizzlies, said, no thank you.
Yeah, great list. Fantastic work there.
Oh, that was great. Let me jump in here. Comment during the top five from Dobromir Gospodinov, who's definitely not Russian. He said, JD getting worst of the week should have evoked that reaction, that Jimmy Butler reaction. You f***ing need me. Yeah,
not wrong.
Good stuff. Nope, yep. Not wrong. And I'm the hardest working. Good comments from Dobromir. Good stuff right there.
All right. Well, speaking of trades there, or dramatic trade requests, let's put a little button here in the Harden trade, because we got some emails and tweets. On Thursday's show, Trey, you asked if this will be called the Harden trade. This is from Greg Pace writing in. You asked if this will be called the Harden trade, even though his initial trade from OKC is called the Harden trade. I think in modern NBA history, there are two trades that are regularly referenced. The 2012 Harden trade and the 2013 Brooklyn trade, where Boston gave up Garnett and Pierce for a cache of draft picks. I can't think of any other trades that are referenced by a single word. I think this new 14 blockbuster will be referred to, maybe as a subconscious homage, as a combo of both former trade names. It'll simply be the Harden Nets trade or the Harden Brooklyn trade. On one hand, it might get confusing, but on the other hand, everyone will instantly know what it means. Again, that's from Greg Pace in Columbus, Ohio. Thanks, Greg. What do you think, TK? Because you were the one wondering, how will we reference this trade?
I mean, he's probably right. He hits it all out of the park here. 2012, that's the Harden trade. 2013, the Nets trade, the Brooklyn trade, the KG trade, whatever you want to call it. This one is both of those combined, so it's going to be the Harden-Nets trade. As for other one-name trades, there's a whole bunch of them on Wikipedia, but none of them are basketball. It's like the Herschel Walker trade, the Eric Lindros trade. I was deep in the Eric Lindros trade last night. Crazy how that trade really set up the Colorado Avalanche for their 1996 and 2001 Stanley Cups. Am I right? That's somebody needs to get on the NBA. Somebody from the NBA needs to get on Wikipedia and get the Harden trade on there. Get the Harden trade part two on there. Get the Nets trade on there. We need some representation for the NBA crazy huge trades.
Is Greg right, Lili? Is there really, you know, at least in the last 15 years or so, like, few trades that can be referenced by, like, one word, really, or one player?
Well, the Vince Carter trade, because he basically sulked his way out of Toronto and the Raptors didn't get much in return. Okay. I mean, that's the way I think about it.
You agree?
I think,
yeah, it's because you were in Toronto at the time, I think.
I wasn't actually in Toronto at the time, but I remember it because it was like...
You were in London, England at the time.
I was. The relationship had ended so badly, and it was like Vince was playing badly, like James Harden, these last couple of days, pretending like, oh, man, I just can't play right now. I'm not doing well. And it was like, I think, wasn't that also Alonzo Mourning said, I'm just not going to Toronto. He was in that trade, and he's like, I'm not going. So
he was the centerpiece.
Yeah, it was Aaron Williams, and there was another Williams.
Eric Williams.
Eric Williams, yeah. And they got a draft pick that turned into Joey Graham, I believe.
Oh, yeah. And that Joey Graham should have been Danny Granger. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I think...
So it was a great trade for the Raptors.
I just think of that as, like, you know, that was the worst moment of the sort of Vince Raptors relationship, which has been patched up. I think we all love Vince now, and we've all moved on from it. But at the time, that was pretty bad because it was like, Vince was a legit star, and he was like, I want out, and then they didn't grant him that wish, and he said, all right, well, I'm just going to play my way out of here.
Oh, it was even worse than that. It was like, he wasn't trying all that hard. He basically told all the reporters that he was going to stop dunking. you know, he was, like, injured every third game like, questionable injuries. Like, maybe he was milking it a little bit, maybe he wasn't. And then he gets traded. And he, like, starts balling his ass off for the Nets. Like, he's back to scoring, like, 25 to 30 a game every night and is back on, you know, SportsCenter with all the highlights. Yeah, that's you might be right, actually, now that I think about it. The VC trade, the Vince trade.
Yeah. Lee, you're not over it because you were in London. What about us Torontonians? We're still not over it, man. No, I'm kidding. We're all over it. We're all done with it.
I just got over it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, last year, I think I just got over the Vince trade. You were a little bit ahead of me. Yeah, for sure.
I was buying into Eric Williams being a good Toronto Raptor, 6'8", a little undersized, a little tweener, a little Gary Trentish. Yeah.
You know what? You could make an argument that this was the Pete Babcock trade because he was the GM, wasn't he? And it was like
Rob Babcock.
Oh, Rob. And it was like, I can't believe that's all he got for Vince Carter, because it was like, surely when you look at, you know, what you could have gotten for him in terms of draft picks and assets, and the Raptors got nothing, which made it even worse. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't get anyone back. And then you have a guy who's just like, nah, I don't care. I'm not going there. And they had no real way of getting Alonzo to come and play there. So,
If Rob Babcock trade, he thought he was getting Alonzo Mourning. But at that time, nobody wanted to play with the Toronto Raptors. It was a crazy time. A lot of players said no to Toronto.
Yeah, and that to me was, again, I think they would have had Chris Bosh at the time, but it was like, this is just going to cost the Raptors the franchise at some point, where it's like, no one's going to want to stay and play with this team. And that was the bigger issue for me. It was like, how are they going to keep them? The Grizzlies are gone, and now Vince is gone.
Well, Tracy had left too, and obviously it was starting to flourish down in Orlando. Yeah.
No, but there isn't any NBA trades that have, like, the Vince Carter trade. Okay, it's his name, you know. There's no, like, nickname for any trade. I wanted, like, a nickname, you know, like the Kaboom. I don't know, something. But they're all just a guy's name.
Yeah, that's the easiest way, I guess.
I know, for sure.
No, you're right.
But
you'd
think one would come out the Beef Wellington for Lou Alcindor.
Let's start calling that trade trade.
Wasn't the third time Will Perdue went back to the Bulls, the three-peat or something like that? I don't know. Am I making that up? I can't remember. But
maybe Trey knows. I don't know.
For a day, probably.
I mean, it's Will
Perdue.
I don't
think that's the three-peat you think of when you think of the 90s Bulls. The only like named trade, like you're saying, if we were going to call the Beef Wellington trade on Wikipedia, was the White Flag trade, which was when the Chicago White Sox were very close to the wild card and they traded all of their starting pitchers to the San Francisco Giants, but worked out for the White Sox, won a World Series in 2005.
Huh. And so they call that the White Flag trade because they were waving the white flag on that season? Is that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They were close. They could have made a run to the playoffs is what people are saying. They traded their top two pitchers.
Okay. All right. Our next sort of Harden-related or Nets-related question here. This one's from Brian in Bloomington, Indiana. It's a who says no. Knicks get Kyrie Irving, and Nick Claxton, while the Nets would get Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson, and Frank Ntilikina. It works in the trade machine. The Nets would likely prefer Austin Rivers, but he is not available to be traded yet. Toodles, that's from Brian. Now, who says no? Because after Harden makes his way to Brooklyn, Tass, a lot of people are trying to figure out a way to maybe move Kyrie Irving. And don't worry about a big three. Go with KD and Harden and get some other pieces. What do you think? Who says no to that?
Wow. I'm seeing comments in the team stream that are contrarian here. Somebody says MB says Knicks say no. Patrick says Nets say no. I think the Nets say no in a heartbeat. Well, a lot of Knicks say no. I'm surprised at that. That people would say the Knicks would say no to getting Kyrie Irving. Come on.
They're giving up a lot, I guess, in this.
Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson.
And Mitchell Robinson. Yeah.
Mitchell Robinson would be the piece. Julius Randle's having a very good year. Can he keep it up? Mitchell Robinson could be a future defensive stud, mm-hmm. but you're getting Kyrie Irving. I think KD would be very pissed off. They waited this long to play together. The year off, he joined to be with Kyrie Irving, a guy that he's complimented over and over and over and over again, saying like he's one of the masters at his craft. He loves watching Kyrie. He's one of like the three guys that KD names. He mentions Kobe. He mentions Kyrie. I say three. I don't know who the third one is. I think maybe it's them. I don't know. But like guys that he loved to play with, he desired so much to play with, and then you trade him after 8 games together. I think you wouldn't want to do that, and you wouldn't give them one playoff together, one game together after all this time, after that year where they're both injured. I don't think Sean Marks would even think about doing that. So the Nets say no. Even though I understand where Brian's coming from, Mitchell Robinson in the lane would be nice for them. Frank Ntilikina to balance out Kyrie and James Harden would be okay, but he can barely play for the Knicks, so I wouldn't get that excited. Unfortunately, Frank hasn't found his way. Frankie Smokes isn't smoking hot right now. But no, I'm not buying this for the Nets.
What do you think, Trey?
Yeah, I also think the Nets say no, but I just wonder how sick must the Knicks be to see Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden on a New York team that has no draft picks for the future. They're like, that's our thing, man. We're supposed to be trading away our future for these superstars. I think this is an easy no to me for the Nets. Julius Randle having a great season, but he's in a contract year. Like Tass is saying, Frank Ntilikina has potential to be a defensive piece for a team. And Mitchell Robinson seems to be a pretty good young center, but they just traded away a pretty good young center because they want to play DeAndre Jordan because he's friends with Kyrie and KD and James Harden. So I imagine it would still be the same case once Mitchell Robinson got to the Nets. So this is a no from the Nets for me, but I love it. I love the idea of the Knicks and Nets trading with each other. Is it ever going to happen? That'd be cool.
That'd be very cool. Oh, what would we call that trade?
Subway swap.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Lee, just quickly, I mean, you're a huge Knicks fan. I'm sure you would want Kyrie Irving on your team. Is that too much to give up from the Knicks side of things? Or
I think Sean Mark says, let me get back to you in a week or so. Just
hold on, let me just check in with Kyrie real quick.
Because Kyrie's apparently on his way back, but apparently the Nets are not happy with his absence, which is understandable. And I think once they get James into that lineup, and I think, look, if you can replace Jared Allen with Mitchell Robinson, I think the Nets would be like, Julius Randle, he's not playing too bad. I think Sean Marks doesn't just say, get the hell out of here. What the hell are you guys talking about? Who's the GM these days? It's not Scott Perry, is it? It's, what's
Leon
his name?
Rose.
Leon Rose. That's right, Leon Rose. I think he's just like, Leon, I'm not saying no, I'm not saying yes. Let's just see what happens in the next couple of weeks here.
Okay, so he takes the call and he puts it in his calendar or his planner, call Leon back because he wants to check in with Kyrie.
Exactly.
In a couple of days.
Okay. Exactly.
All right, yeah. Let's hear from you guys. Yeah. Final one here. This one came through Twitter. It's from @NingBland. Serious question. This is how he prefaced it. When fans return to Rockets games, will they boo James Harden upon his return? It's a good question. Lee, what do you think? Is it going to be a Vince Carter in Toronto where he gets booed for the next decade or no way? What do you think?
I think he does at the start. I think he does because of the way that he left there, and that was by playing his way out of it. Now, in his last press conference, he tried to save face by saying, I love Houston. Basically, he's saying to the fans, I love you guys. It's all good, but I'm out of here. This team is not good enough. And I think that fans feel that. They're like, come on, man. You could have been better at the end there. You really did sulk your way out of town. And you took a little bit of a shot at the team there by saying they're not talented enough, they're not good enough. And I think he was a little bit ungrateful for what the Rockets had done for him over those last 8 years. So I think, now look, they got a good haul in return, so that will appease the fan base somewhat. But they go from a team that was in the playoffs for the last, you know, 7 or 8 years to now maybe not in the playoffs for the next year or two. And I think fans will remember that. I don't think it'll be the same quite as Vince Carter, that'll linger on forever and ever. But I think for the whenever that does happen next, which is in a year or two maybe, I think fans will just say, we've just got to get this out of our system first. But I know the Rockets will send out like a big tribute video as well when he is back there.
I think they already did that. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean when he's back in the actual building. They'll do that. The Rockets will take the high road here. But fans, we know they'll be like, no, I've got to get this out of my system and then move on.
What do you think, Trey?
Oh, people love to boo. Of course they're going to boo. I mean, give it 10 years. If it's 10 years before fans come back, they're going to boo James Harden as soon as he gets there. It took forever for people to get over Vince Carter. Like Skeets is saying, it wasn't over for him until he watched Vince Carter score his 25,000th point as an Atlanta Hawk down here. And he said, okay, man, all is forgiven. It's fine now. Up until then, pure booze. And that's what it's going to be for Harden. When you pout your way out of a team, when you trash him on the way out, even if you're trying to save face there at the end, of course you're getting booed.
Tass, you agree? Will they boo him in his first game back? When fans are, I mean, I guess fans are allowed actually technically in Houston right now. I know they're doing a ladies' night. I see them tweet that out every couple of days. Very weird. But anyway, not it's weird that there's a ladies' night. It's just weird that you're tweeting out, hey, come to the arena in any instance right now. But when there's a bunch of people in that barn, do you think they'll boo him in his first game?
I mean, it is strange that they're doing promotions for a time where...
Yes.
I guess the Mac... I just checked right now as you said that they have fans in Houston. I don't know. I don't track where they're allowing fans. But yeah, 3,200 fans the other day. But they still want to promote a ladies' night, huh? Interesting.
Yeah, it's like one of those like four tickets, four beers, four hot dogs type of things that you see all the time.
Yeah, which, for sure.
Yeah.
Of course they're going to boo. Yeah, those 3,221 fans that were there the other night, they'd boo loudly. Yeah, people love to boo. So, yeah, if you get somebody booing beside you, you got to join in. You know, it's not very often you get to make that sound. It's a good sound to make. It's a good time.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm actually going to disagree with you guys. I don't know if they do boo them. A big part of it will be how the team, the Rockets themselves, are doing or playing whenever Harden is back for the first time and people are in there and it's 20,000 people. Because that was the thing with the Raptors, right, Trey? Like, not maybe the initial boo, like, okay, that makes sense. But it continued for years because the Raptors sucked. And you were like, well, let's just go tonight and boo Vince Carter because, you know, we're not going to be cheering on our team because they were so bad for so long. So that was a big part of it. But I don't know. James Harden is like, what? Is he the third best Rocket player of all time? Maybe second?
Yeah.
Lee, Akeem, and Moses, I guess.
Yeah.
So he's either two or three. I don't know if they'll boo him.
He's getting some boos. I mean, they booed Kevin Durant when he left as a free agent from Oklahoma City, you know, and now they didn't get anything in return.
Yeah.
But Kevin Durant, I think, was within his rights to leave as a free agent, but he did join the Warriors as well, which I think upset people. But,
sure.
But I just think James Harden, again, his attitude and his body language in this season was just kind of like sticking his finger up to the fans. So fans
and he went to Brooklyn pairing with like making a super team his own way after calling his own shot, saying trade me there. And then, okay, you guys are probably right. How long will it last? That's the real question.
And now two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Tweet of the night comes from Australia? Yes, from the National Basketball League. Yeah, they just started their season. You are about to hear Connor Henry, who is head coach of the Adelaide 36ers in their first game. This is a huddle in the 36ers final, the fourth quarter, I should say, of their first game. This is Henry's first game as their head coach. And as you see the tweet, he wasn't happy with the James Harden-like behavior of his players. Listen.
Here's Connor Henry.
Croc gets it. Dribbles there. There's the first roll. It's there. You over-dribble. You've over-dribbled. You've over-dribbled. You've over-dribbled. I've over-dribbled. You f***ing over-dribbled, and you haven't even f***ing played. Get a f***ing basketball.
Well, I think...
I'll leave that there.
Whoa, Connor. Yeah, he got very, very angry at his players. He even pointed, he's a comedian, though. He pointed at himself and said, I've over-dribbled, you've over-dribbled, we've all over-dribbled. This is his first game as a head coach of the Adelaide 36ers. They got hammered. Yeah, this is Connor Henry, played in the NBA. I don't know if you remember him, Lee, he had a cup of coffee in the 80s. So that, thanks for Liam Santamaria. NBL broadcaster sent that in Pius Lane with the tweet there of Connor Henry. And you could hear the broadcaster turn it down.
Swearing. He just dropped an F-bomb on live television.
Yeah, I think that was Andrew Gaze on the call. It sounded like they were like, whoa.
I do like the line where he says, I've over-dribbled is funny, but then he goes next level and says, you've over-dribbled, you haven't even played. With a lot more expletives in there. That's a great line. All right. Great tweet of the night. Hey, NBL, man. Are we going to start incorporating the NBL into the Daily Show?
Yeah.
Is it possible, eh?
6,500 fans socially distanced in attendance last night, which is great. They're starting to get fans back. But, you know, when is it going to have full stadiums again? I don't know. And that's what's the problem here. Like Australia, they've basically eliminated the virus and they're still taking a very cautious approach. We're like 200,000 cases and 4,000 deaths a day here, which is just devastating for this country. But
it is not getting better right now at all. Pick 'em results in the NBA from last night. Our game was the Heat-Sixers game. That line was huge. It was 11.5 by Philly because we talked about it. The Heat were missing, you know, all their star players. Two of us picked the Heat to cover. Tass and Lee did. And Trey and I took the Sixers in that big line. And they won huge. We knew something was up with that. That was a little weird one there. So Trey and I get the victory. Tass and Lee get the loss. So here are the standings. I'm 8-7. Tass and Trey are 7-8. Lee are 6-9. Nice. So it's close. Lots of basketball still to be played. We might start betting on NBL games. Who knows? But what's tonight's NBA pick'em game, Tass?
We are absolutely betting on NBL games. Tonight's game is the Adelaide 36ers hosting the Melbourne somethings. The Knicks, pardon my ignorance. Why do they call the Adelaide 36ers the 36ers, Lee?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask that. I don't know.
something to do with their proclamation.
Yeah, maybe those are, gold rush or something.
Yeah, they found a cool opal or something in Adelaide. That's all I remember Adelaide. Everything's underground in Adelaide. Yeah. Isn't that right, Lee?
Beautiful city, it's Adelaide.
That's what it says on their sign when you come into the city. Beautiful city, but it's Adelaide.
The gold was dribbling down the hills or something in 1936, 1836, 1736. Anyway, Knicks-Cleveland tonight, both 5-7, both on losing streaks. Knicks have lost 4 in a row, the Cavs have lost 3 in a row, and both Lee's favorite teams. Cavs getting 2.5 points at home, so they can lose by a couple. Start with you, Lee. Knicks at Cavs, 2.5 points.
Yeah, neither team's been playing well, but the Sexland backcourt is still out. I think the Knicks can win this one. I'll take New York, but they're not playing all that well. It's a tough one. This is. All right. No, I just think the Knicks have got a better talented team with those few players there for the Cavs. So, New York.
All right, Skates, what do you think?
Oh man, this is very difficult. I have no clue. Who's going to hit more threes tonight between these two teams? I think that's who will ultimately just win the game. And give me the New York Knicks. Let's get a nice little Austin Rivers game here. I'll take the Knicks to win by three. I do not feel confident in this, though. Who you got, Trey?
Well, the Knicks haven't played a close game in a week and a half, and the Cavs haven't played a close game in a week and a half. I'm taking Andre Drummond over 20 rebounds for my pick here. Oh. Give me that big beef, and I'll take the Cavs.
All right.
Yeah, I as well will take the Cavs. Maybe they've got a little extra oomph because they were involved in that four-team trade. Teams that involved in that trade, they've all won, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. The Nets won. Yep, that's right. And then, of course, the Rockets Pacers last night and the Pacers last night. Yep.
Yeah, so...
That's good.
I guess the Nets made the trade. Oh, yeah.
They played after.
The Knicks, yeah.
Yeah.
That night, they smoked the Knicks. I'll take the Cavs.
Okay. We got Tass and Trey taking the Cavs. You get plus 2.5. We got me and Lee taking the Knicks. They got to win by 3 or more. Good luck. All right. Best way to wrap up a drop podcast is a little rapid fire fun. Lee, what do you got for the guys?
This week's blockbuster trade saw James Harden reunited with his former teammates Kevin Durant and Jeff Green. Who or what is something from your past you would like to be reunited with? Trey.
I'm lucky in that I've been wearing an extra large since I was in like fourth grade. You know, you wore giant clothes back in the day and now they actually fit me right. So I can usually, when I get a chance to go home, I can find some old stuff that I want to wear and integrate it into my wardrobe today. Actual vintage stuff. I love it. One thing I haven't been able to find though, I had a pair of orange and one tearaway pants and I would just love to have those back. You know, tearaway pants, super impractical when you're in high school and people just want to tear your pants off. But now, to be chilling at home, you know, maybe I'm upstairs, I'm watching basketball, and then it finally comes time to go to bed at night. I'm like, all right, time for bed. Hop into bed, good night, wake up in the morning, button them back up. Wish I could find them.
It's always the worst part about tearaway pants is buttoning them back up.
Yeah, terrible, terrible.
Because then you always, like, it's like putting up a shower curtain. I can't stand when you miss like a ring and then you're get halfway through. You're like, oh man, you did that. I always did that with the buttons too on my pants. You're like, totally. You miss one or you know what I mean? Anyway, Tass, what's your answer? Sorry.
What would I like to be reunited with? My athleticism. Wah, wah. It's true though. You know, I never had a lot, but a couple decades ago there was some there. Now, it just sucks. You know, there's not a lot of variance in my speeds. You know, a lot of guys have, they say in the NBA, they've just got multiple speeds. You can slow it down. I mean, my sprint speed is basically the same as my jog speed. There's not any variance. It stinks. So, yeah, my athleticism. Where have you gone? Oh, my athleticism. Where have you gone?
JD.
Well, I mean, the obvious answer is people in general, but maybe because there's a scandal happening over at NBA TV right now, it's the top of the brain is the NBA TV, our old crew, you know, our camera guys, Rick, Todd, Sharon, and Carlos, and there's probably 14 people working on our show every day. It was the best part of the day. It was like from 4 to 6:30. It was just, we had... Well, full crew of people, and I miss those guys, especially now during these 12-hour days when I'm literally doing all of those jobs. And of course, you know, Matty O, it's weird not seeing him every day still, you know, so that's my answer. Our old crew.
Every day before the show, do you play some of our theme music and dance with a garbage can just to get that Rick feeling back in your bones?
Yeah, I put on a green screen as well, and I walk on the moon and stuff like Todd used to do.
Well, I was going
to
say, do you drop a big fart at the back of the room like Bill doing some graphic work?
Oh, man. Okay, next rapid-fire question comes from Jordan in Auburn. I am watching a sports program's top 10 James Harden moments, and they have James Harden leads Rockets back from 3-1 deficit in 2015 Western Conference semifinals against the Clippers as number 9. I found this to be an interesting selection considering the iconic moment from that comeback was Josh Smith and Corey Brewer raining threes while Harden sulked on the bench. My question is, what is something that you get undue credit for, Trey?
Having a birthday. Anytime somebody's like, hey, happy birthday, have a great birthday. You didn't do anything. You were just bored. You had no part in it. You just showed up one day, and now people celebrate you once a year. It's a nice deal. It's a nice nice racket we're all running here celebrating these birthdays, but we did no reason for it. We don't get any credit for that. Give the credit to my mom.
I'd say and your dad too, but yeah, but mainly your mom.
Not on the birthday.
Tass.
Well, I'm going to give credit to a mom right now, to my wife. I get undue credit that my kids are cute. It's all my wife. It's all her. It's all her. No doubt about it. And she was the one who's done everything. And also, you know, you're with, if you're lucky enough to be with your loved ones right now, show some appreciation for them. It's tough. I'm an a-hole sometimes with my wife. So just show a little love. And that's what I just did for my wife. I told her, she's the reason my kids are cute, and now I'm going to be mean to her the rest of the day. Just kidding. Show some appreciation to your loved ones. That's all.
This guy's getting beef Wellington tonight.
I hope so.
Yeah.
JD.
The cold opens. We have starting the show every day. I get a lot of compliments about them, but I did not create a single one of them. In fact, I don't find them all. I mean, I do spend a large portion of my Sundays, you know, digging up stuff, and I will take credit for some of them, but I got sent a lot of them. Nora has sent me a bunch, and you guys, we have a Slack channel dedicated to them, so... Yep. You know, they're great. We love them, but I can't take all the credit for them. So.
You want to start giving some shout-outs in, JD?
Shout out to Nora.
I think I just did. Nora.
Yeah. She's always now running them by me. Oh, this would be a good cold open. I said, just send it to him. He'll decide. Yeah. It's up to him.
Last question here. On Thursday's show, I revealed how I had been exchanging DMs on Instagram with two-time heavyweight boxing champion Reddick Foe. Which athlete or celebrity would you love to have slide into your DMs, and what pun would you hit them with, Trey?
If noted angler Bill Dance ever slid in my DMs and said, hey, I heard you like ripping lips, I'd say, dadgummit, Bill, I'm hooked on fishing.
Bill Dance is still alive, is he? He's
still with him? I think so. I think still he has dancing? An Instagram account, yeah. All I gotta right. follow him. I'm gonna try and lure him in here. Oh, another one!
Nice one, Tassie.
Well, we know Shaquille O'Neal is the king of the punts. I mean, he's thought of everything. The Shaq Stradamus, the big Shaqtus. He's been everything. So I would ask him, why have you never, for one of your companies, come up with the tagline, once you go Shaq, you never go back? Why not? Why not once for something? You couldn't find it. Like, Shaq wouldn't, you know, just like I'm not beneath stooping to that level of using that kind of line, Shaq isn't either. Nope. Why hasn't he used it? I'd like to know.
Nice one. JD.
Mike Myers for me. Great Canadian comedian, but... just for the catchphrases and puns alone from Austin Powers, which get used daily around here for almost every topic. Like, if you're talking finance, you got to say, $1 million, food, get in my belly. Emotional stuff. If you got a tissue, if you got an issue, here's a tissue. That kind of thing, you know. Poop. First things first. Where's your shitter? You know, that kind of stuff. I mean, around here, it's we are constantly quoting that movie more than any other movie. Like, who throws a shoe? Honestly, is said at least weekly around here, at least once a week. And then shoe can be like, who throws a remote control? Honestly, you know, that kind of thing. So every time we try coffee, how's the coffee? A bit nutty, you know, like that kind of thing. You can't say magma without saying magma, you know. The whole zip it thing around, like, always, you know, would you like to have a suckle on my zipple, you know, that kind of thing. And farts, every time someone farts, it smells like carrots and throw up, you know. Yeah. So it's the never-ending cornucopia of catchphrases. So it's got to be Mike Myers.
Sounds like a whole lot of fun at your house, JD. I have to say. I'd slot right in over there. It'd be beautiful.
You would.
Austin Powers came up recently here, too. Isla was asking me about it. She just had the idea of when we did the costumes during the Halloween show at the Starters. I don't know. I don't even remember what year this was, but it was a good time. I was dressed up like Goldmember. We had Austin Powers, Rivers. What else?
Dr. Evil J.
Master and Dr. Evil J. Yeah. And she's like, so what is Austin Powers? And that's a hard thing to describe to a six-year-old. I'm like, he's a funny spy?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, that's a weird thing to say. She's like, wait, does that mean he's a bad guy? No, he's very good. Watch this. So then I played her the intro where they're walking out to Quincy Jones's Soul Bossa Nova, the entrance song to my wedding wedding reception, and she was going crazy. She's like, why are they all chasing him? I'm like, he's just being silly. He's just being silly. He loves disguises. Still a classic. Those first 2 minutes, some of the best minutes in movie history, if you ask me.
Totally. Totally. Lincoln will randomly wear the full gold member costume that you wore, Trey. Just for the entire day, he'll just wear it around the house.
That's awesome. And also cool incredible that he can fit into it already. Are you kidding me?
No, it's too small for him now.
Is he ever like pulling off some of his flaky skin and having a little nibble?
Always.
Carbs are the enemy. All right. If you're in the mood, go grab some No Dunks items at nodunks.com. Hoodies, t-shirts, shorts, and mugs. Got to rep the brand. Treat yourself to an Athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks, where you can sign up for just $3.99 a month for the best sports writing in the world. Thanks so much for joining us today, all week long. Thank you so much for watching us on YouTube, subscribing on YouTube, listening to the podcast. Keep doing that. A little bit later today, Lili, we got the very solid plays of the week. We'll have that up on YouTube. So again, make sure you subscribe. Hit that little notification button so you know when there's a new video up. You got some good ones this week, Lily?
Oh, yeah. I've got a real good batch this week.
Oh, I can't wait. So that's coming up a little bit later on Friday. Again, thanks so much, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, all this fiber talk and the tweet of the week shout-outs makes me miss Big Clogga Dogga. Where's he at? Where's the Crogga Dogga?
I think he might be in Adelaide, actually, old Big Crogga. Where you at, Big BCG? No, BCD.
Embrace the weekend, people. You could stay.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.